on TV today. I think you ought to go by facts, not by rumors on some other network.
Reports about Ross began after the Commerce Department was told by a judge it had not provided a proper justification for adding the citizenship question to the 2020 census that President Trump wants to see.
The National Air and Space Museum is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission by projecting a life-size Saturn V rocket onto the Washington Monument. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
As the president prepares to speak in North Carolina, senators are still speaking out over comments that the president made over the weekend that four Democratic congresswomen, if they don't like the United States, they should leave our country. Republican Senator from Louisiana John Kennedy says he doesn't believe the president is racist, but could have phrased his comments a little bit better. He also tells Fox News regarding this so-called squad.
The simple fact of the matter is that the four congresswomen think that America was wicked in its origins. They think that America and its people are even more wicked now, that we are all racist and misogynistic and evil. Now, this is, they're entitled to their opinion. They're Americans. But I'm entitled to my opinion, and I just think they're left-wing cranks, and they're the reason that their direction is on a shampoo bottle. I think we should ignore them.
Californians are again worried that the big one may be coming. After a series of earthquakes rocked northern and southern California on Tuesday, in less than 15 minutes, two quakes in the San Francisco Bay Area were sandwiched around a quake in southern California early yesterday afternoon. Please remember, you can always take USA Radio News with you on the go by downloading the iHeartRadio app and searching for USA Radio News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome to the Hack 100 and Radio Show. I'm your host, Jim Minadio, and I'm the president of Zero Surge, a manufacturer of power quality filters that are used for surge protecting sensitive electronics. With Zero Surge, you have peace of mind that your electronics are kept safe. For today's show, we'll cover some news of the world, of technology, and other innovation and that you may not have read about. And my guest today is one of the 2019 Hack 100 In Hackathon judges, Eric Emerson, the CEO of E2 IT, E squared. Yeah, I get it right. E squared, because I wrote E2. E squared IT Consulting. We'll discuss his company, impressions of judging the hackathon, and the story of how we met.
Yes.
As always, I'll end the show with some historical innovation story, and this one will take some time to discuss timekeeping and how it affects our future. But first, a commercial and the weather, and we'll get the show started.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and 100 In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and 100 In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hi, Beck. The weather, it's hot. it's the three H's, right? Hazy, hot, and humid here. I'll even turn on Eric's mic so people can he can comment on the weather. There are rain is coming. I saw on the radar before I came in. Be here probably by 7, 8 o'clock tonight. We'll start some rain and then rain through the night. Heavy rain tomorrow. And a little cooler. Get the temperature here. 87 tomorrow and then back to hot and then very hot over the weekend. So find a cool place to be this weekend. I'll be poolside myself, hopefully. Where are you going to be this weekend? Just hanging out with the baby, right?
We're trying to drag a baby out to a winery. I don't think it's happening. Or it's good. I don't think babies can drink alcohol. So
no,
I guess
it's 21 months. I think
21. There is a 21 in there somewhere. Yeah, so I think we're just gonna see how it goes, I suppose.
Okay, so right back with one more commercial, and then we'll be back with the show.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience? Through all the noise out there today, consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back. So as always, I'd like to start out with some news stories. I did not pre-screen him with Eric so we can get his, hot takes on him as we talk about him. The first one is, today or this week is Amazon Prime Week, which did you partake?
Did some damage.
Okay, did some damage. I did shop online this week, but actually through Walmart, not through Amazon.
They threw that left punch, actually. Walmart and Amazon, the battle is growing because every time Amazon makes a move, Walmart's right there.
Yeah, so, we put our Zero Search products, some of our plugins, through Walmart.com.
Nice.
So we just started that this month. Check it out if you can find them. We're still working out some of the details of how you market through them, and there's certain rules you got to do, and they're very protective of, you can't market to their customers directly per se. So we're still learning. But I found this article through the NJBIA, which is the Business and Industry Association that we belong to. Do you guys belong to that yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's just another one of these acronym groups you can belong to.
So many.
As a business person. And according to SCORE, which is the nonprofit business advocate group, they did a study on retail shopping, and they found that 69% of discretionary income is still being shopped in-store.
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 Not online.
Not online. Trying things in a store is 3 times more influential than any other purchase factor. So being able to touch it, feel it, wear it, try it on for size is still more influential than looking at videos and things like that. 82% of shoppers last year attended a retail event, such as a pop-up store or product demonstration. So have you...
Black Friday.
Okay.
Try to not get knifed on Black Friday. That actually makes sense, though. I have a hard cutoff dollar amount. If it's over $100, I need to put my hands on it because I don't know if you've ever purchased anything around that price and it ends up being garbage. So that's a good way to kind of see whether that's the case.
Yeah. So, and then 55% of online shoppers would prefer to buy from retailers that have a physical presence versus just an online-only presence. And so I think that's just the trust thing, right?
It's got to be, yeah. Especially since Walmart, Amazon, Newegg, they allow third-party retailers. There's a big controversy there. If it's not fulfilled by Amazon, you're running the risk of buying like a used item when it's shipped as new, or it's a huge problem right now.
Right, right. Well, yeah, like I said, through the Walmart.com, that's something they made us go through hoops to make sure that our product is our product and things like that. But it's easy for us because we're not buying it from somebody else. Right. We're making it. So I think that's why they want us there, because they know we're an actual manufacturer. Let's see. So it says 98.5% of all retail firms are small operations with 50 or fewer employees. While e-commerce seems to dominate the landscape, it actually is only 10% of retail sales right now.
No way. Like, really?
Well, until you buy cars online.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's I would imagine that's probably Tesla.
Think if you think of, the dollar amount for some of these things, retail. Plus, you go to a restaurant, that's probably considered a retail.
I guess.
I don't know if they consider Postmates an online or retail, since it comes out of a store.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was that story. An interesting story. I just happened to catch it in the morning. My wife likes watching CNBC for years and years and years. And so there's a reporter, Carl Quintanilla, who did a documentary on the e-vape, the e-cigarette craze.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think you do, right?
I don't vape,
okay,
no.
Good. I don't either.
Skip
that. But the point of the story, what caught my eye was that the CEO of Juul, because Juul being one of the popular brands, actually said he's sorry for marketing to children.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have banana passion fruit as a flavor. Mango. And be like, no, it's for senior citizens.
And so, the federal government, the FDA, did a study, and they found that 21% of high school students vaped last year, which is crazy, because they have no idea that there's more nicotine in these things than a regular cigarette to begin with.
My brother does bar mitzvahs and weddings, and you know, you'll see they're 13, 14, run around being addicted to like USB flash drives. It's pretty bad right now.
Oh wow,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and the irony is that Juul was started in San Francisco, and San Francisco banned e-cigarettes, so it's just kind of funny. But he actually admitted that that was a mistake, which is very unusual for any kind of nicotine delivery company to do that. Kind of the unusual thing too is it was the top 10 companies that had raised capital last year.
Really?
They raised $1.2 billion in private investments last year.
Now, is that just to further expand the line, you know, or?
Well, they're trying to go into the two biggest markets for them are India and China.
Infants. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not infants.
I got it.
Not infants.
I see. Thought they were going younger.
No, that would be a big market, but not their biggest. It would be India and China.
That makes sense, actually.
So, you
know,
that's
it's funny because I, you know, growing up on the tail end of being a millennial here, but you know, growing up, the truth ads, you know, we in the dare ads, the truth ads. I mean, we had almost gotten rid of cigarette smoke, right? And then just kind of went right back into nicotine. It's kind of funny how that happened.
Hmm. Let's see. So we only have time for a few. My little timer thing is not here at the moment, so I'll just have to go by eye. They have a little thing for the little inside here for you guys. They have a little timer for us. But so the last story, I'll talk about innovating in the HR world, since we're not near that age. But they're talking about a new way of doing retirement. So the latest craze in the HR world is called phased retirement.
Uh-oh.
So imagine what they're doing is they're realizing, A, that, you know, we have people that are living longer, you know, that 65 is not the retirement age anymore. Most people at least go to 70.
Right.
Some people are just as good workers as 75 and even 80.
Some people don't want to stop working.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Some people have, you know, financial reasons why, or just, you know, they just feel like if they're engaged, they'll live longer anyway and have a more fulfilling life, and they just don't want to necessarily travel and do all the things that the stereotypical retirement thing. So, and then you have a lot of technical people who are just not being replaced by the same level of technical people. And so you want to keep that knowledge base. So what places like NASA are doing, some of the bigger companies, Bon Secours Hospital was one. What they're doing is they are doing a retirement program where you just phase out how many hours. So instead of going from 40 hours a week to zero, you go 40 to like 30 for a few years and then go to 20 and go to 16 and then go to 8 and then you're done. And, you know, we actually have a few people that are sort of like that where they work part time.
Yeah.
That are older engineers that are just doing this just to keep active and social reasons too. But I think what it does is that the programs are always tied to having training to bring the younger generation in too.
Makes sense.
So,
you know, I like this better because, I mean, it's usually people just stop cold turkey and they're just like done. And they, you know, they go pick up woodworking. Or,
yeah.
By the way, your thing came up.
Oh, okay. Oh, look at that. All right. So it is working. All right. So we'll do a quick commercial break and then we'll get back more with Eric.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness.
We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back here with Eric Emerson, the CEO of E-Squared IT. Give a more formal introduction here. He's a passionate... I was going to read your bio from the Hack Hunterdon, but I found this one here. I'll put it on camera.
All right. How did you find that picture? Because it's my favorite picture.
My daughter calls me Daddy Google, so I go down these Google rabbit holes very easily. And what it is people don't realize it's not your social media. It's your friend's social media
right. That
leads me down to these.
Ooh, lingers.
You know, because you don't realize how much... Especially mothers don't know to set their privacy settings on social media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so mine's my main profile page is pretty much shut down, but I think we're friends, so.
Yeah, so he's a this is your old one, so I guess I can't really do that because that's your old one. I'll read the official one here. He's passion for technology ever since he was a child. That passion led to starting his high school's first IT club, where he shadowed the school's IT professional, fixing anything he could get his hands on. What high school was that?
Freehold Township.
Okay. And taking the love of technology and helping small business owners by launching E-Squared IT Consulting, LLC, established in 2014 and based out of Annandale, New Jersey, which is in lovely Hunterdon County.
Yes.
Eric uses his background in systems administration, networking architecture, cybersecurity to keep his clients' businesses running smoothly. He holds a variety of industry standards, all these different acronyms. And he's also a winner of the Happening in Hunterdon County for IT services, correct?
That's correct.
And his current goal is working with nonprofit organizations to donate time and equipment to help modernize their infrastructure.
Correct.
So what we'll do that. Let's talk about that real quick then. So is there a story you could tell us about that?
Nonprofit specifically? Yes. Yeah, so the first IT job I had out of high school, actually. I've been in IT like my whole adult life, but they primarily worked with nonprofits, Jewish nonprofits or Big Brothers Big Sisters, Monmouth County. You know, we worked a lot of nonprofits, and it's the perfect balance for me between helping companies that are doing good and helping companies that also need help. And not necessarily for profit. A lot of them, they're underfunded or their budgets have to go elsewhere. And so there's a lot of finagling you can do with IT where you can make it work on a budget and still operate your business, run. And it just really fits a good spot for me. I've always been passionate about it.
So with the impending Windows 7...
End of life,
that's going to be a big thing coming up for a lot of these.
Yeah, and what's actually, it's funny, the last computers purchased within the last 2 years, especially from like Dell, they actually usually come with a Windows 10 key. It's embedded in the BIOS, so you're able to do an upgrade and likely won't bang you that $100, $110 upgrade fee. So you actually might be able to do an upgrade. There's a tool you can download, it'll upgrade you. It might just work. If it doesn't work, it'll tell you.
Okay, and I've noticed for software... Like my son uses Adobe's full suite, and he has a student version that costs a lot less than what I had to pay for our company version. So do they have that for nonprofits?
Absolutely,
as well?
Yeah. They call it TechSoup. So nonprofit pricing for Office 365. They even make an educational version, which I think is free, both G Suite and Office 365, two different competing Office Suite products. But I think the educational version is probably free, or it's almost that, very, very, very cheap. It's for students with like Chromebooks and things.
So what
like that.
Does a nonprofit have to do to prove it to like Microsoft to get these lower prices?
I think they just have to be a 501c and then register with the state. And then they think they get a license number or they get a specific code from the state, whatever their individual certification number is. They put that in and then they just register with an account. Shouldn't cost them anything to sign up on TechSoup.
Okay.
And I bet you I'd be surprised if most didn't already have one.
Okay. So if you're out there listening and you know of a nonprofit that has issues like that, Eric's your guy to contact. So you can contact him through the Facebook page or LinkedIn. He's on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
or his website. It's what, E2IT?
Consulting.
Consulting.com?
Yep.
Okay,
correct.
E2IT. I'll post that on the show when we archive it. Okay, so then what other, so other than the not, so on the profit side of the world, what kind of businesses do you normally deal with?
Yeah, sure. So primarily we deal with financial services companies, so CPAs, tax accountants, you know, financial advisors, good set of businesses there, and we also deal with law as a vertical. We target verticals. We consider ourselves specialists in these verticals, and my skill set matches their needs pretty well. So usually the kind of businesses I deal with.
So what about a law office that has a different need than, say, me as a manufacturer?
Right. So usually it's email and security. So right now there's, I guess, we'll deal with the email portion first. Okay. They have to be able to do discovery on email correspondence that can go back years. And it's like, if you ever gone into your email, I mean, I have 9,000 email messages in my inbox. I just haven't even opened because, you know, I do everything by search.
Right.
Well, this takes it a step further. And you can basically say anytime between 2010 and 2015, flag all email conversations with this guy that has this keyword in it. You know, there's certain levels of email licensing you can get that allow you to do these types of e-discovery is what they call it, or legal hold for that matter.
Now, does it just work with any like Outlook or Gmail type things, or is it,
so Gmail?
Do you have to have a specific kind of email service?
I would say I haven't seen it implemented in Gmail. I mean, they have a great suite of products. I'm on G Suite myself, but for business, it's Office 365 the whole way. They have various different levels, but their E3 and above is for like educational or government, where they have just better, higher needs, more security needs.
So the same thing then for like CPAs and financial people too.
Correct.
They have the same security needs, the same discovery needs,
right.
The same auditing ability, right?
Especially audits, you know, for financial advisors, you know, depending on the direction that they go with their business, they get audited. You know, it could be, you know, yearly, could be, you know, but they have to be able to produce reports that says, here's what we're doing. We're, you know, following the instructions and we're maintaining compliance based off of this, this, and this. There's a huge cybersecurity checklist you have to follow and maintain. So I like to collaborate with my customers and build a plan that keeps them out of sticky situations,
okay.
Particularly audits.
So then what do you see as far as in your world, since this is an innovation show, you know,
right.
what kind of things do you see coming in the future, like in the next few years?
Oh, it's specifically cybersecurity, we'll talk with that first. The landscape is a nightmare right now. I mean, so far, every day of last week, there was a new municipality that had gotten crypto lockered or ransomware, right? And, you know, millions. Like Florida, I don't think the state can operate. Like Florida ought to be shut down. But, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But it's been very bad. And that goes into government spending, cybersecurity practices. You know, there was a county in Florida that paid the ransom, fixed their crypto virus problem, and they reinfected themselves, you know?
Answered the same email again.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this wasn't the picture of the funny cat picture. Yeah, and, you know, it's such a nightmare right now. So to combat that, we're seeing artificially intelligent powered, so like the engine powering anti-malware antivirus. And it's very cool. Very cool to see. Usually it's buzzwords, AI. It's like a huge buzzword right now.
Sure.
You probably have AI in your shampoo at home. you know, it's kind of ridiculous. But how it works is it looks for trends. It looks for file behavior instead of just how it used to work, which is this file that lives here falls under this definition, which makes it a virus, right? It's like a dictionary. It doesn't work anymore.
Right.
It could be any name, any...
Well, I've noticed, I don't know, the ones that we get at Zero Surge, I mean, there are basically two other people that handle email besides myself, and they're very paranoid about... We've actually had real emails, like real orders come, where we've had to call the customer and say, did you just send us a PO?
Yeah.
Because we've been that paranoid. But I've noticed the trend is that there's always... It'll look so great until the last word is, like, not spelled correctly.
Right.
Or it'll be... The other one I saw recently was they put copyright 2019 Zero Surge. Like, why would an email from another company have my name as the copyright holder?
There was a situation where I had a client reach out to me. Their personal email got hacked. And the way I caught it is they emailed me saying, I need immediate help, all caps. This doesn't happen with this client. like, what's going on? So I emailed him back. Are you okay? Because I was like, maybe something happened, you know? And they're like, I need immediate assistance. You need to send me two $100 iTunes gift cards. I'm like, you had me. But iTunes, like, who's dying because they can't get the new, you know, Maroon 5 album, right? It's not happening. So
that's funny.
You know, but yeah, you know, now let's see, industry changes. You can no longer have one product to protect your whole business, where you put like an antivirus on your computer and call it a day. You need to have layered security in every step of the way, including your email.
Is there going to be a point where email is just done on a separate machine by itself?
How so?
Like, I can imagine where you have an email network. Like, this is an isolated network where only email exists.
Internal
just
only.
For communication. And that if you really want to send a file, you have to tell them, go to my website, and you already know what the key and password is. You create an account so you can transfer files that way.
Right. So if you were to ask the creators of Slack, which I don't know if you've ever used Slack or
I've
if you
never
know
used
of
Slack,
it. So Slack is basically chat rooms in 2019. That's all it is. But yeah. According to them, they killed email. Like, they think they've killed internal email. And
That's internally, but I'm talking about external.
You can invite people as well. That could be the way that goes. You can send files. You can request files. You link it in with things like Dropbox. That's kind of the direction we're headed. Very mobile, very fluid.
So we're headed to not being able to spam somebody. Because you wouldn't spam somebody on a chat room. You'd get instantly booted.
Right, they know it's you, right? And a lot of email is attached to identities now. You know, and identities can go, you know, the files you have, not just your email address. So everything's tied into who you are, all to verify.
Yeah. So I guess that would be a good thing. Like, if you're using a suite like, you know, Office 365, that Word document that you have attached to it is going to have your authorship on it, right? And
correct.
So then the receiver will be able to identify that it was a real because it had your key in it.
That's basically. Why e-signing, you know, it's you know, Adobe has been doing it for a very long time, although it's a little cumbersome, but they're doing a very good job inside of the Office suite now. But you have to pay for a subscription. You know, you basically have to be in that ecosystem pretty deep.
Now, is it, are these, back to the stories about the governments, are they solely through email that they're getting?
Primarily.
There's no... it's not like they're browsing and then found a, you know.
It doesn't happen through browsing as much anymore. I mean, you
is
see
it
people.
Because Google blocks a lot of that stuff,
correct.
Too, right?
And also the workstations might have, you know, restrictions on them where they can't actually execute any file they download. But email, you know, if you embed code inside of a Word document, and if your antivirus doesn't catch it, it just opens. When you open that Word document, it opens. Nothing you can do about it.
Right.
A lot of times they, oh, there's your next commercial break.
Well, that's all right. We got some time. Keep going.
Okay, so you know, nowadays, you know, you don't even know you have a virus until it's too late. And a lot of times, what they do is they sit, they collect information, they try to make little moves, collect administrative credentials, and then it'll spread to your network. It'll collect information first, see how bad the situation is, and then it'll spread.
Okay. All right. With that thought, we'll take a quick commercial break, and then we'll go over the story about how we met.
Yeah,
that's our teaser there. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, let's do the. Little news break.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House may vote on opening an impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says the president isn't racist for his remarks about four Democratic congressmen, including Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar.
A racist says go back to Somalia because you're Somalian or you're Muslim or whatever. That's just the way he is.
The federal prosecutors who took down Mexican drug lord El Chapo say they had a mountain of evidence to put him away for good.
Never again will Guzman pour poison over our borders, making billions while innocent lives are lost to drug violence and drug addiction.
Richard Donahue, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Guzman's attorney, believes that Guzman will be serving his life sentence in Colorado's Supermax prison. This is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hi, we're back. Again, the weather. I don't even have to look. It's hot. It's hot.
Still hot.
It's going to be stormy tonight. It's going to be, and then cooler for about probably 12 hours, and then it'll get hot again. It's going to be in the 90s, high 90s on the weekend. So find a cool place, a cool drink, and some shade, and have a good weekend. So, all right, so we're going to switch gears here real quick. Tell the story. I guess I'll start the story. So basically how Eric and I met. So it's Christmas time. There's the chamber has their annual Christmas dinner. And as part of the dinner, they give awards out to different people for different reasons. And so Chris Phelan has got everybody lined up, and he's going through before he gives everybody their award. He asks each one of them a question related to Christmas, like what was your favorite Christmas gift? What was your tradition that your family did for Christmas or the holidays, whatever? And then he got to the question, what's your favorite Christmas movie? So I turned to Donna to my left, and Eric is sitting to her left. So he's two seats away at this table. We hadn't even met yet, hadn't talked. He's with his group of people, I'm with my group of people. And I just said right off the top of my head, Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie. And for those of you who don't know, people, you know, if you know the movie, you understand it takes place during Christmas, but people argue whether it's an action movie or it's a Christmas movie. But Eric's first thought was, did you just say Die Hard's a Christmas movie? And I said, yes. And he's like, I want to meet you. And we shake hands across the table. And so that's where, that's how we met each other. So that's, in the movie business, they call that a meet cute.
Yes.
So, that's how we did it. And it is a Christmas movie, and I could find you all the parallels with It's a Wonderful Life. I went through the whole list. Yes. You know, you have the bad guy, you know, Mr. Potter, and you have Alan Rickman's character. They try to, Hans, he tries to, they try to steal money from the good guys. You have a family dynamic situation going on in both stories. You have people who jump off of buildings. I mean, Bruce jumps off a building, and so does Jimmy Stewart jumps off a bridge and falls through a floor even on the in the pool, right? And, you know, there's an angel character, and that's the cop who's, you know, had to redeem himself. He ends up, you know, shooting the bad guy at the end to redeem himself and get his – you know, his metaphorical wings. So,
Do you have this written up somewhere?
I should. I did email it to you, I'm sure. Yeah,
I
probably should make it into a formal document of some kind.
Some kind of manifesto.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know about manifesto.
It's okay, bury me with my manifesto.
I have so many of those. I guess start with, you know, surge protection, work our way down.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about it. This is like the fifth show, and I've been very good at keeping it, not really talking about it yet, but we will. As soon as I run out of some guests, I think we'll do a whole show.
You can talk about search.
Yeah, I'll make you the host then. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. And we'll bring Bob in with the beard, and it'll be a great show. So, so that's how we met. And then, we had the hackathon coming up, and so we needed a judge. And so Eric, graciously volunteered. So tell us about your experience. So you were there, you got there in the morning, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So I wasn't there for the 24-hour period. Fresh off a new baby, so we were able to squeeze it in. But yeah, I got there in the morning and, you know, got introduced, orientated, kind of the whole deal. And yeah, I mean, it was probably one of the most unique, and I'm very proud to say I did that. It was a very cool experience.
Yeah, so the way it worked, like you came in, I remember we – did you go visit all the teams ahead of time or did you have not?
So yes, we did. But this is after the 24-hour period, right? Yeah. So when we made our rounds, I mean it was basically like they were zombies and we were filming a zombie movie because that's what it was like. Like nobody wanted to talk to us. We were like, hey, is everything okay? And they're like, yeah, man, everything's fine. You know, that 1,000-yard, you know, Western stare, they were gone. You know, they really pulled it together for the presentations, though. But, yeah, they were some zombie people. It was...
Yeah, they did perk up for the actual judge. Because what we did was we had them all come into a classroom. We had to do a preliminary round because we had so many teams. We had to cut them down to 10. And then, so we're in that room doing that. You know, I liked how well run it was, thanks to Donna timing and then... Kristen was doing the, getting the teams ready,
yep,
in and out. And
yeah, they did a great job.
And then having Brandon in there, too, as an extra set of eyes, too.
Yeah, that helped a lot. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, we had, we were all pretty much on the same page, too. And, the presentations were fantastic, given the amount of time they had, too, which is just the most impressive part about it. It was hard to narrow it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Very hard.
So we cut them down to 10, and then there was a time for them to kind of regroup and then... Then they re-presented their project again with more time. So, was there any we all pretty much agreed. But was there another project that stood out to you that if like they had enough time, you thought it would have been a really good idea?
All right, give me a sec. All right, so I mean that art diorama one, like if they so can I tell the story about
yeah.
The, okay, so
go ahead.
They had it was a team of what was the initial team size.
It had to be 5 or 6 because they had an artist friend who was there and then she left.
Oh, right.
Like she actually painted that.
Yeah. So this was like a hand painted mural, art piece that was interactive. So it responded to touch and if you walked past it and the goal of it was, imagine you're on a subway and it's an interactive art piece that responds. It kind of like brings you, in an urban setting. It brings you a little bit closer to nature and it was very, very cool. The problem is that they had so many hurdles and roadblocks along the way. I mean, there was a kid that unfortunately
he overdid the Red Bull, I think.
Yeah.
Or something happened.
Something happened emergency services had to come and, they had a guy that person just left, I think. And
well, the artist left because she was done. I knew that.
I wish because she had
done
blasted out those art pieces.
Yeah, they actually, in the spirit of the hackathon, they didn't even come with an art project already done.
That's right.
They had one of the girls sitting there on the floor painting this mural. It was like a waterfall, and then there was a lightning, right?
Yeah, they got the lightning working. I think a perfect scenario where they had everybody they needed, and then just, they didn't run into these roadblocks. I think I would love to have seen what it turned out to be, just because I really like it. Was the only artistic one, really, out of all of the submissions.
Yeah.
I like that combination.
Yeah, I think the other thing was, from a technical standpoint, they were trying to solder things together, and they were using the wimpiest wires. They should have just made it, use really heavy-duty connections, not worry even about soldering, just have more plug-and-play kind of stuff. And I think that just spoke to their inexperience, being young. They don't have that exposure, I guess, which is – it's still kind of interesting because, kids nowadays don't get to do stuff with their hands much. I mean, this hackathon, is popular because kids sit and code and do things like that. So, it was nice to see that and like the car.
Yeah,
the robot car.
The car was really cool. I thought that was especially cool because they built it in Unity, which is a video game engine. And that's just, in general, that's just a cool, how they matched that up was interesting. Can I do an honorable mention?
Yeah.
The weightlifting guys.
Yes.
They won best presentation, or the best energy.
Oh, sure.
But, if you talk to people that don't necessarily work out too often, one of the most frustrating things is, you got to keep building exercise plans. And, this was an app that assembled your workout plan for you based off of your goals, weight, height, even age. And it just gave you a workout plan for a whole month. It was so cool.
They were close. I think the problem is, I'm sure there are... We're pretty sure there are other apps that do similar things.
There's like MyFitnessPal and
there's other ones I've seen too. But it was just like you said, it was their energy, the way they presented, And they had a completed project,
right,
too.
Correct.
So they definitely would have been, if we had a top five, they would have been in there. So take another quick commercial break, and then we'll have our last segment about time. All right, so if I can figure out which, there we go.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back for the last segment. Again, we usually do some kind of historical piece about technology or innovation, but this one's going to span time, meaning beginning of time to now to the future. So talk about the history of timekeeping. Okay, so I got this article from Physics World magazine. It's a British journal, or it's not, I don't think it's a British journal, but the author was British. So there's a lot of British references, but you know, since Greenwich Mean Time is the keeper of time, that's they do get to own that. So you know, the first timekeeping method was sundials,
right?
Stick in the sand. So basically, you're measuring time based on how the sun travels and the shadow clocks. And then we ended up starting developing things like water clocks and sundials, or hourglasses, basically using, you know, the acceleration of gravity to keep time. So we're using pendulum clocks, you know, back in the Middle Ages, you know. And then, so what happened was, you know, at some point, you know, pendulum clocks are only so good. And one of the things why it made an issue is that the railway system. That's the reason we really started to have to start a conversation about how to keep time. I mean, we always had issues with calendars. There's the Gregorian calendar and all the different calendars, the Jewish calendar. You have an Arabic calendar, the Chinese calendars, and all that stuff. But those are just, you know, dealing with how many days since something happened. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to measure actual time, you know, humans didn't need to worry about that until trains.
Right.
Because now you're dealing with the time between one city and another city. Up until that point, each city had their own time based on whatever the clock at the church was ringing. You know, if it rang five bells, it was 5 a.m., you know, and that was it was good enough for everybody.
Right.
You know, it was time to wake up, you know. So in the 1840s, you know, they started having what they called railway time. And so Greenwich was the place in England where they standardized time keeping. So even though the sun travels, you know, through England,
oh geez, how embarrassing!
phone call on my own phone here. Make sure my volume's down. Sorry about that. That you know they had to. You know, establish a way to control time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the, I guess it was 1880 is when they established the Unified Time Standard. And in Washington, D.C., they adopted the Greenwich Mean Time as the reference standard. And so they defined it at the time as 186,400th of a mean solar day is 1 second. So there, I guess there's 86,400 seconds in a day. So that was the that's how they defined what a second was. Well, that doesn't necessarily work if you're on different parts of the planet. So as we got into air travel and things like that, I guess in 1927 they had invented at that point the electric clock using a quartz as a oscillating measurement thing. So instead of using a pendulum swinging back and forth, which, you know, yeah, if you have a grandfather clock, you have to keep winding the weight so it keeps time properly. You know, the crystal clock would be more accurate, except it's not accurate enough once you start getting into nuclear power and other things that need even more high-speed measurements. So, you know, they had to develop a way. So the British National Physics Lab came up with the first atomic clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that was based on cesium. I won't go into the detail of how it works. You can always look it up. But it's basically using two different states of a cesium atom, and it oscillates at 9 gigahertz. So, 9.1 gigahertz. And so by measuring that frequency, you can determine down to the, you know, ninth digit to the 10 to the 10, you can be accurate for time, which sounds great. But then you realize, you know, when you start getting into computing, that's still not accurate enough. So we needed something more. Oh, gosh. Again, sorry about that. I don't know why. I always forget the volume down doesn't work if you don't turn the notification thing off, too. So what they had to do was, okay, we need a faster clock. So they came up with a laser type clock that's accurate to 1 times 10 to the... Where did I put it? I thought I had... Oh, 10 to the 18th. So if you imagine 10 with 18 zeros, that's how accurate the current clocks that they use to keep track of time. But if you think about it, that's still actually not that great because light speed is 2.99 times 10 to the 14 microns per second. So light travels 1 micron. It can travel, you know, 2.99 times 10 to the 14 microns in 1 second. So that could be, you know, many, many, you know, microchips. So to time a microchip, you need even faster accuracy in your clock speed. So what does this have to relate to the future? So when we start going to Mars, and this is where you probably can jump in here, let's think about this. Okay, it takes Mars. How are we gonna do time when we start living on Mars?
Is it the day-night cycle of Mars itself?
Yeah, I mean, you can do... There's different... We have to figure that out because time it takes even light to travel to Mars and back. Like,
right.
The one goofy thing about the movie The Martian is that it really takes 2 minutes and 30 seconds for light to travel to Mars and back.
Right.
Or at least to Mars one way and then another 2 minutes back. So when Matt Damon was talking to the ship and then the ship was telling that they got him, they should have been like a, you know, they could have already been drinking the Kool-Aid before they got, or the Tang, I guess.
Yeah.
Before the news even traveled to Earth.
That was like Interstellar, too, when they're closer to the black hole.
Yeah.
They're basically like 100 years had gone by, or, you know.
Well, they talk about warping space and then space-time. At least they try to hand-wave that.
Yeah. I mean, human beings have a circadian rhythm that's based on, you know, the day-night cycle of Earth. I wonder if people live on a Mars colony... Will there be adaptation to that cycle?
Well, like we use the Julian calendar is the calendar that, you know, we all agree to use at this point. And it actually has a day zero. So January 1st, 4713 BC is considered day zero in computer language. So when you're doing calculations for days, that's zero. And then, you know, we're up to 2.4 million in days, you know, if you use like Excel spreadsheets and stuff like that. So the coding behind that is important. So then for Mars, if you're going to have a different set of day keeping, then you have to have a day zero.
Right.
So are you going to use, like, the one suggestion is to use the day that Galileo first observed Mars, which is January in 1610.
That's
and
cute.
Use that as the day zero. Or do you do it when the Mars lander first landed?
I like that one better.
You know, it could be, so it'd be the first one, Mariner 4, flew by the planet July 14th, 65, or do you do it when it landed? When Mars 2 landed November 27th, 1971. So if you do that as day zero, then my birthday falls before zero. So I'm a negative birthday. so that's the thing. So you, yeah. So probably the Galileo thing would probably be the more
just
practical thing as far as record keeping goes.
Are you going to Mars when they send people there? Are you going to be the first person on the ship?
No, I'm not going to be. I'll probably be the last one.
I see.
I'll be the one that makes sure the door is closed on the cockpit when they fly off. I'll make sure that, you know, somebody presses that launch button for them.
Right, right.
And then I'll just hang out here and see what happens.
Oh, the Twilight Zone episode, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, it could be or like Wally.
Yeah.
Pick me like, as Wally. Me and Wally will be hanging out.
That's fine.
Taking care of the trash. So, the other thing is with the, you know, how are you going to do months there? So, you know, they're talking about using, you know, Mars has two moons, but one orbits Mars three times a day, so you can't do a month that quickly. And the other one is completes the orbit once every 30 hours.
See,
so you can't even do that even as a day.
Right.
So, you know, and then do you do how many times that Mars takes to make a path around the Earth or around the Sun? So that's 668 Earth days.
See, did you hear that thing where moons can have moons?
Well, I imagine they could, yeah.
Do you know what they call them?
I actually heard somebody mention that.
They're called moon moons.
Moon moons.
Moon moons. I think someone's bored. Okay. They're just making stuff
I think that's something I may have heard on, like...
just go to the moon, man.
To Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know. So, you know, so that's something that... You know, it's a little thing, but it does make a difference because, you know, if we're going to use GPS, you couldn't use GPS on Mars until you get these atomic clocks there. And who's going to spend the effort? I mean, there's a picture of the atomic clock. It takes about the size of this room that we're in. So that's just too much cargo to bring to Mars. But we need to have the timing. So how are you going to, you know, it's not going to be, you know, something as simple as keeping track of time can stymie us going to Mars,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of these issues, you know, and just the human factor of living on Mars. Like, how do you keep track of people's birthdays, Ned?
Right.
You know, do you do your Earth birthday? Do you do your Mars birthday?
It's going to be tough. Maybe you'll people that came from Earth probably do their birthdays, and then Mars will have Mars.
You know, Martians. Your Mars baby will have their birthday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, are you going to still keep 7 days a week? You know, does it, and like you said, the circadian rhythm, you know, you're going to have the same holiday schedules. I mean,
there's a lot of sci-fi that talks about this, by the way. There's like comic books, anime. I mean, it's covered. Yeah. This is where, you know, Mars people,
yeah.
you know. Or,
well, they talk about the timing issue?
Not just time. I mean,
well, just all the other social issues.
Everything, like, you know, yeah. the way you look. You know, Martians are taller and they have less bone density because of the lack of gravity, or less gravity, you know.
And because there's no magnetic field, they don't feel... A lot. So how's astrology going to work? Or,
right.
Or even those people who wear like the bracelets, you know, the copper bracelets.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For to get the Earth's magnetic feel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, so if you don't have a magnetic field.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
That one girl on Facebook that posts about Mercury being in retrograde. Like, what is she going to do? What is she going to do?
Well, that still exists. You know, that one of those girls is my daughter. Actually, she does astrology.
Really? Okay.
She actually
does
that.
Of course,
stuff,
I.
So
you
it's
know,
funny.
There it is.
You know, she would definitely tell you. Well, you know, the planets are still aligned a certain way. It doesn't matter. It's because it has to do with when you were born.
I see.
And so you do a chart based on when you're born. So it's not like the grocery store astrology where they just try to give you your fortune.
Right.
There's actually a whole school about. That the theory is that gravity does influence your life.
Wow.
And so the gravity of all the planets and the sun and the stars and how they're aligned does affect things on Earth.
Well, it's like the moon and the tides.
Exactly. So there's some science sort of related to it. She hasn't convinced me and she knows that, but, you know, there's plenty of people that need to grab onto some things. And obviously with the way, some of the issues in our world's religions have been lately, you know, people looking for alternatives.
It's
especially
fine.
The millennials.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'll take Mercury in a retrograde. That's fine.
So, looks like we're almost done here. So, before we go, any other final thoughts?
Ooh.
Do you have, So you didn't answer whether you'd be going to Mars. I almost let you
probably
out of here.
Probably not. I like.
What would it take you to leave to go to Mars? I mean, we're talking nuclear holocaust Mad Max level? Or?
Yeah, if I had, like, nothing to lose at that point, you know, just me and my dog and my busted car, I'd probably go to Mars, me and Elon.
Or if it's just like, okay, there's, like, you know, one country worth of people left.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Would you stay for that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's today's society with the amount of people we have and people are going to Mars to start a colony, I mean, I don't know, pick up a history book and read about the colonists, you know, they're hopping over to America for the first time. I'm okay.
So this is like the 1600s, you'd still be in England right now.
Going, yeah, I'd be like, I'm good. I'll just drink some tea. It's fine. This is fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, just send us back some trinkets from the New World.
Oh, they don't like being taxed? Oh, okay. Well, I'm good. I'll just stay here on my boat. It's fine.
Okay, great. So, all right. So I guess that's the end of the show here. We only have a couple minutes before I see David's waiting in the wings. So thank Eric for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank to all the new fans that have watched on Facebook, YouTube, or listened. Thanks for all the kind words on the LinkedIn post that I did yesterday that went viral with everybody because I posted that I was a new role.
Ah.
So LinkedIn makes it seem like I had a new job, which is sort of like a new job.
Yeah.
Thank the Chamber for giving me the opportunity, Mark and his team at Economic Development, the gang back at Zero Surge, Donna, Deb, Jen, Tony, Dave, John. Thanks to my wife, Debbie, and kids, Cora and Nicholas, and to all the rest of you innovators out there. The original meaning of innovator was that you were a rebel, so keep rebelling against the doubters and make your ideas a reality.
Nice.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
More troops are headed to the U.S.-Mexico border. The Pentagon announced on Wednesday that they have approved a request to deploy 2,100 troops to support President Trump's immigration crackdown. 1,000 will come from the Texas National Guard, and the rest will be active duty troops. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are discussing the explosion of illegal robocalls. In emotional testimony today, Angela Stanek says her elderly grandmother took her own life after losing her life savings on one of these scams.
It is extremely hard to imagine a loved one committing suicide, but she did, because these individuals preyed on her and on her good heart.
The Houston woman says her grandmother had $69 left when she died. Now, many of these calls do look like they're coming from the United States, inside the United States, but they're actually from overseas. This is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents. When generic insurance takes hold, one handsome man and one flightless bird are teaming up to save the world. Money. Their message? Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. Their mission? Savings. Their relationship? Best friends. Say hello to Liberty Mutual's new spokes team. And Doug.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
In other news on Capitol Hill, Republican Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri scolded Google executives, saying that Congress's patience with Google's monopoly is running thin and that it's time for some accountability. Hawley also tells Fox News what him and his staff learned about Google as they were researching before this hearing.
Well, what we learned is that Google is not being honest. What we learned is that there are studies out there showing that Google in this country right now is discriminating against conservative viewpoints, is discriminating against those who support the president. And we know Google has a history of ideological censorship and ideological discrimination. So we can't take their word for it. We've got to hold them accountable.
A series of earthquakes have Californians worried that the big one may be coming. In less than 15 minutes, two quakes in the San Francisco Bay Area were sandwiched around a quake near Ridgecrest on Tuesday. Ridgecrest is where two major earthquakes did millions of dollars in damage and opened cracks in the earth earlier this month. This is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy defended President Trump from accusations of racism stemming from a series of tweets and then blasted the four members of the so-called squad as whack jobs. As far as how moderate Democrats in his state feel about the squad, Kennedy tells Fox News,
"They're embarrassed by it. They don't want to talk about it. They're embarrassed that this is dominating the discussion in Washington, D.C. right now. This freak show, when we have so many other issues to be talking about." I've told the president before. I said, "Mr. President, tweeting less would not cause brain damage." But he has decided this is the way he wants to communicate. And I do not believe his original comments were racist. I do not believe he is a racist. But if the Democrats want to continue to pursue this line and say that America is a wicked country and it was wicked when it was founded and